From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Godette. It's Idaho Matters. You've seen them zipping over irrigation canals, diving down and skimming the water in search of bugs with their very distinctive wings. There are 86 species of swallows, and many of them spend their summers in Idaho. These amazing birds were featured in the May issue of Wildlife Express, the Idaho Fish and Game newsletter for kids and kids at heart. We asked Vicki Reneau back on Idaho Matters to tell us more. She's a conservation education supervisor with Idaho Fish and Game and superintendent of the Morrison Knutson Nature Center. Vicki, welcome back.
Thanks, Samantha. It's always a pleasure.
It is. It is so much fun. Okay, tell me about swallows. There are 86 different species, really?
Yeah, found worldwide. North America hosts 8, and here in Idaho, you can see 6 of them routinely. We sometimes see purple martins, but not very commonly. They do. If they nest, it would be rare here in the state. To me, swallows are summertime. You know, when they're here, it is summer. It's getting hot. The bugs are flying, and it's just so much fun to watch them.
It is fun. Okay, bugs. Let's talk about bugs. Is it true they catch their food in midair? Is that what they're doing, flying over the canals and stuff?
They do. So a lot of the Idaho's insects spend their initial part of their life cycle in the water. They're aquatic macroinvertebrates, if you want to use the term for that. And when they hatch into adults, those mayflies that splat on your windshield when you're driving down some rural highways, that's what they're feeding on, is those who are coming off the water, those swallows are going after these insects that are hatching into adults. And just watching them spin and turn and twist to go after these bugs is amazing. And they're just catching them with their mouth right out of the air.
Wow. And is it true they can drink while they're flying? Because I think I read
they
that.
They can drink, and they even splish splash take a bath and while they're flying.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to talk about each of the swallows. But first, I know that barn and cliff swallows, they make those mud nests that you see. Tell me about the nests. What do they look like?
So they're made of mud? Their mud nests are pretty distinctive. Barn swallows is more of a mud cup. And an adult barn swallow can make 1,200 trips to a mud puddle area to gather mud for a nest. So it's quite a feat when you think about where they put them. And then cliff swallows look more like gourds. They have a little neck and an opening in the top. So that's how you can tell the difference between the two. And they are colonial. So you'll often get a lot of cliff swallows in particular nesting together and barn swallows. And they like a lot of man-made structures, bridges. So folks who are floating the Boise River or elsewhere in the state where you're going under a bridge, you might see those colonies and see the birds flying back and forth, coming in and out of those nests. And those are the nests most people think of when they think of swallows, or those mud nests.
I've seen those, and I've seen, I think like I said in the intro, the swallows all around the irrigation canals going under and over and around. And you're right, you see them in summer. Let's look at the 6 swallows in Idaho. Start with the bank swallow.
Yeah, the bank swallow is, like its name, they are a bank breeder. They build little burrows. They dig them with their little feet and their wings and their beaks, and that's where they will go ahead and raise their youngsters. And they are also kind of colonial. So where you see one bank swallow nest, you'll probably see a whole handful of them. And again, all of our swallows are insect eaters, and so they're going to be flying over ground or over water looking for whatever seems to be hatching up to feed their little ones. They're one of our more quote-unquote plain swallows. As far as coloring go, they're kind of a brown. They've got a little brown stripe across their chest, but they're all really cool, even if they're not the most flashy of birds.
They are. Okay, and we mentioned the barn swallow, and that they go elsewhere besides barns. Are these the ones with the forked tails?
They are. Barn swallows, they're my favorite for a number of reasons. They're beautiful. They're that cobalt blue on the back and the orange, burnt orange on their chest and bellies. They do have the forked tail. They're Idaho's largest swallow at about 6 inches, which doesn't sound super large, but comparatively speaking. They also, when they sing, have this long chattering conversation that always ends in this kind of buzzy little trill. And I really enjoy listening to them. They go on and on and on. So it's fun to just sit and listen to those guys. They are also a long distance migrator. So they are spending their winter times down into the Central America. So they're coming a fair distance to Idaho when they come in the summer.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, cliff swallow. These guys have a different tail, right?
Right, their tail is kind of squared off. They have this cute little tan patch on their foreheads, and they're very colorful as well. They got a little bit of kind of a reddish around the face, underneath the chin, little bluish cap. And these guys again build those kind of gourd nests underneath structures and eaves and barns and places like that. So, and you often get baby cliff swallows gathering together in a creche. And that's sort of safety in numbers kind of idea. But interestingly enough, similar to how a mammal, a bat, can find its own baby amongst a huge bunch of baby bats, you know, the parents of these cliff swallows can find their own baby amongst a bunch of baby cliff swallows. So that's pretty neat.
Here's a cool tip. If you go to Lucky Peak Park, you can look up along the side across the highway, all along those cliffs. And I saw a ton of cliff swallows over there. As you said, they can build pretty large colonies.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Wow. Okay, North Rough-winged Swallow. These have
Yeah, this is probably our plainest swallow. They're kind of just a drab, grayish, brownish color. They are a swallow that will nest in cavities. So they don't build the nests like the barn swallow and the cliff swallow. They will find an open pipe or a crevice in a building or a crevice in a tree, and that's where they will build their nest. So they're more of a, they may be, you may see them more over land than potentially some of the other swallows when they're feeding. Interesting that the name rough wing is there's a barb on the leading edge of the male barn or a rough wing swallow's outermost primary feather, and that's where that name comes from.
Oh,
That's
cool.
something if you're a bird bander and are actually able to see that, that's where that comes from.
Neat. Okay, tree swallow. What are these guys?
They're a swallow a lot of folks will be familiar with. If you put up a bluebird house, tree swallows will also try and use those. And so they're a cavity nester. They readily take to nest boxes, but they'll use, again, crevices and trees. If you have a crevice under an eave or something like that, they may use that. Tree swallows are interesting in that they often will put feathers in their nest. And you can see tree swallows flying around with feathers in their beak heading towards their nest to add it to that nest. So it's if you have like chickens or something, you may see the tree swallows gathering up those feathers.
And finally, the violet green swallow.
Yep, they're beautiful. They're just iridescent on the back, kind of greenish and purplish. They're North America's only western swallow. A lot of these other species can be found around the country, but the violet green is the only one that's seen in the western US. So you won't see violet greens in the east. And they are another cavity nester. So what's interesting is if you have, and I had this happen actually at a, where I used to live up north of Salmon, I had tree swallows and violet green swallows nesting underneath my carport, and they got along just fine. They each had found their own kind of little crevice, and so they were doing their thing back and forth. You would not have gotten two tree swallows that close together. They would have been bickering and arguing with one another about the space. And if you have bluebird boxes up and you have tree swallows in one and bluebirds in another, they get along just fine. But if you have like tree swallow again, they'll start arguing. So it's kind of funny how territorial they are about their nests, but they're protecting their babies.
Wow. Okay, you've got a lot more information in May's magazine. This is Wildlife Express magazine, including everything from how their wings affect their flight. Some of the legends built up around swallows. But since we're almost out of time and you're the superintendent of the Morrison-Knudsen Nature Center, I heard you're hosting your annual Celebrating Pollinators event.
We are. We're very excited. This is our third year for our pollinator event, and we are celebrating all pollinators. We will have folks giving tours of our observation honeybee hive and talking about honeybees, but we will also have a lot more information about our native bees, mason bees and leafcutter bees and bumblebees and all sorts of pollinators. And folks will have a chance to potentially make what we call a seed bomb out of mud and seeds, and you can take this and put this in your yard and grow some native flowers with that. We'll have other activities. The Treasure Valley Beekeepers Club will be here to talk about, you know, beekeeping and how you do it properly, and we'll have some honey tasting. So it should be a really, really fun day. We're looking forward to it. We have a lot of our wonderful master naturalist volunteers who will be here helping us with that event. So we encourage listeners to bring their families and come on down. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. this coming Saturday.
In Boise at the Morrison-Knudsen Nature Center.
That's right.
Okay, we've been
Yeah.
sp We've been speaking with Vicki Renault. She's a conservation education supervisor with Idaho Fish and Game, about the May issue of the Wildlife Express magazine featuring swallows. We're going to put some links on our website to everything, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Vicki, I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling us more.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.